The fix is in. The Sports Fix.
Sports Fix listeners don't wait all day or all week to get in on the fun. The party doesn't stop when we go off the air all week long. The Sports Fix social media sites are your one-stop shop for all things Cleveland sports. Jump over to Facebook.com/TheSportsFix, Facebook.com/TheSportsFix, and become a fan today because we love fans and they create some of the best sports talk in town, Daddy. You'll enjoy talking to your fellow Cleveland sports fans on the Sports Fix fan page. And if Twitter's your thing, well, you know how we do it. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. It's that simple.
Twitter.com/TheSportsFixCLE, baby.
Chat live with the crew during all your favorite Cleveland sports events, tickets and contests and trivia and so much more. Get with us today, The Sports Fix, on social media, Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. Join The Sports Fix on Facebook and Twitter today. Business owners and professionals, do you want to take your business, your product, your team, your event to the next level? You want to advertise right here with the Sports Fix. Our listeners are among the most loyal listeners on the dial, terrestrial or internet, and our audience is one of the greatest and most receptive audiences in all of radio. The Sports Fix universe is not only listeners of the radio show, but tens of thousands of fans on Facebook and Twitter. Our social media universe expands by the day, all in the prime demographics to help drive your business directly into the winner's circle. Don't take my word for it. The Sports Fix comes with reference upon reference that have done business with us in the past and had some fun along the way. For more information on how we can help you knock your business, event, team, product, or promotion out of the park, email me, Jerry Myers, thesportsfix@AOL.com. That's thesportsfix@AOL.com. And let me help you swing for the fences and hit it out of the park. Advertise your product right here on The Sports Fix.
This is Greg Pruitt, formerly of the Cleveland Browns, and you're listening to The Sports Fix.
Portions of The Sports Fix brought to you by Signs and Ship, the official printing source of The Sports Fix. Quality printing at affordable prices. Find out more at signsandship.com.
Live in Ohio, it's time to get your fix. The Sports Fix.
Welcome in. Yes, indeed. It is a beautiful Friday here. It is the last Friday. Well, it's the last day of the week. It's the last Friday of the month. It is the last Sports Fix of the month. I cannot believe the summer is over. I cannot believe it. I know we got a few weeks left technically, but man, we're hitting September. Football's here. Baseball's wrapping down. Hell, hockey and basketball getting ready to go into training camps. I mean, before you know it, the snow will be falling. I just cannot believe how fast this year has gone by. Welcome in, my friends. I'll tell you what. Big, big show today. Very excited. Thank you for joining me. J-Rock with you here, your host, the Big Daddy on the microphone, J-Rock Jerry Myers. And I thank you so much for joining us. As I said, big, big show today. Of course, the Browns, they wrapped up the preseason yesterday, finally. And I'll tell you what, I could not wait fast enough by the end of that game to say we don't have to say the word preseason for at least a good 10 months or so. But they wrapped things up. We did see, hey, I thought we saw some things that we needed to see from some of those guys fighting for those last roster spots. Not happy at all. I don't care. I know that I'm in the minority, but I'm not happy that you didn't at least, you know, do a little bit with your starting offense. I understand not wanting to get hurt. You know what? We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But we did get to see some things. Hey, it might have been against backups, but you did get to see what you've got in a guy like Brian Hoyer. You got to see, hey, Torrey Gurley, a couple of those wide receivers came up with some nice plays. And it was good to see Josh Gordon head into his suspension at least, showing that he looks like he's going to be able to jump back in there and instantly contribute when he gets back in week three, assuming that he keeps his head in the game while he's out. We're going to talk to Ryan Ruiz from the Inscriber about the final Browns preseason game, and more than that, him and I are going to talk about who we think locked up those final spots on the roster, who's going to make the cuts, because as we know, this Saturday, those final cuts will be set. We will go into next week when we come back here with you. We will know who is on this 53-man roster, who's going to make up the practice squad to start off the season, and we'll know where things are heading as as we really start to ramp up next week into week one in the Miami Dolphins. So Ryan Ruiz from the Inscriber going to join us talking some Browns football here in just a little bit. We did some switching around. Apologies if you were tuning in to hear Jeff Gorman. This is a lot of things in flux last night with the Indians making a trade. They went and got a bat. It may not be the bat you like. You might be happy. You might not be happy, but the Indians did feel that they had to make a move, and they made a move last night. Jason Kubel comes in from Arizona. Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com is going to stop in with us 12:35. We're going to talk about that trade and where it sets the Indians up and what we could expect from Jason Kubel when he comes here to Cleveland, and preview the Detroit Tigers series, a big, big series coming off of just a bad offensive series against the Atlanta Braves. Great playoff-level baseball, great pitching, all the way. One bad inning did in each starter. Other than that, the Indians did a job. What about Ubaldo last night? First guy since CeCe back in the day to go consecutive games with 10 or more strikeouts. I'll tell you, he's getting stronger as this season goes on. But it doesn't matter. One bad inning, as I said, was enough. And it doesn't matter how you pitch. When you score three runs in three games, you're going to be hard-pressed to win games. And not only that, how many runners left in scoring position? We're going to talk to Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com about that. 1 o'clock, Ed Doherty, the voice of the St. Ignatius Wildcats, is going to join us, as last night they kicked off some high school football. College football got rolling as well, but we're going to preview the area's high school football teams, go through the top teams, the top players, and some of the top games that you can look forward to. Ed is always one of the most knowledgeable people in the entire area when it comes to the information and all the ins and outs of high school football here in this area. He's a very valuable resource, and I'm really glad that we can bring him to you here on the show. All of that, so much more going on, so let's kick this thing off and do what we do, Daddy. Welcome to the Sports Fix. As I said, I'm your host, the Big Daddy on the microphone, J-Rock Jerry Myers, with you every weekday at noon, live on the sportsfix.net or throughout the day on all the different platforms that you listen to us on. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to wrap up this week in style. I'll tell you what, whoo, man, big, big show, big, big things going on. Of course, as you heard at the beginning of the show, the Sports Fix brought to you by our good friend Signs and Ship. I deal with the location out in Elyria, Ohio, Chris and Pam, but they've got spots in Florida, Virginia, and Pennsylvania. They're the official printing source of the Sports Fix. And I'll tell you what, small business owners, no matter what you're into, no matter what phase of it you're into, whether you're starting out, whether you're planting the seed, perhaps you need to expand and grow, or perhaps you're ready to knock down the wall and bust out to another level. Signs and Ship will take care of you. They'll take care of your business cards, logos, graphic design. Chris is an incredible graphic designer. Perhaps you don't have the logo to brand yourself across the internet and across your social media. They can take care of that. Of course, also today, your last chance to take advantage of the opportunity. September 1st, actually, I guess, so you do have a couple of days. But today's the last Sports Fix for me to tell you about it. Hurry in, spend $200 before the end of the month by September 1st with Signs and Ship, and you'll get a professional studio quality commercial produced for your business, and we're going to air it for free right here on the Sports Fix. As a matter of fact, in the month of September, you're going to hear some commercials from people that took advantage of that, as I behoove you to as well. Signsandship.com is the website across the United States. Hit them up, 440-323-6060. Quality signs at affordable prices. Harry Buffalo, my friends, the Harry Buffalo in North Olmsted, tomorrow they get it rocking. Talking about the college football getting going, the Buckeyes and the Buffalo Bulls. Tomorrow's Coors Light College Game Day Saturday at the Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. All day until 10 p.m., $6 pitchers of Coors Light. Four bottles for $10. Buckeyes in full HD across the bar. It's going to be a great time. And don't forget, a week from this Sunday, when the Browns kick off the season, if you're not in the Muni lot, then I want you at the Harry Buffalo North Olmsted, because we got Bud Light Browns game day Sunday. The Sports Fix is going to be broadcasting live pregame, postgame, and halftime shows. We're going to have giveaways. I'm going to have all kinds of prizes all season long. It's going to be a hell of a time. They've got four 16-ouncers for $12. $10 hair of the dog pitchers. It's going to be a great time. Wing specials, so much more. So every Browns game, home and away, come hang out with the Sports Fix at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. And also, don't forget, talking about that end of the summer, what, 4 or 5 weeks left? That's it, to take advantage of bike nights as well. Every Monday night, 4:30 on Bike Night at Harry Buffalo. Go check them out. Like I said, the summer is slowly fading away, and when it's gone, it's gone. It's a good time, so head on up there to Bike Night at Harry Buffalo. GV Artwork, GV Art and Design, our good friends, Cleveland that I love, you know all about them. Check out their brand new store in Lakewood on Detroit Avenue. It's fantastic. The mural on the wall alone is worth the trip out there. I'll tell you what, though, as you know, makers of some of the best Cleveland sports t-shirts and apparel in town. We are so proud to be partners with them. Love sporting our GV Artwork apparel, and I know you do too, because we get the tweets and the pictures and all of that all the time. GVArtwork.com, check them out. Use the sales code FIX, and you'll save an additional 10% on your total purchase. And don't forget, share the show. Tell somebody right now that you're listening. Tell them to tune in too, and you'll get your name dropped in the hopper, because every Monday, we team up with GV Artwork, and we give one lucky Sports Fix listener the chance to win the t-shirt of your choice from GV Art and Design. You can get your name in the hopper every Monday at noon, which means you've got this weekend. Start now. Get your name in the hopper Monday at noon, live. We're going to draw the winner, and it may be you winning the t-shirt of your choice from GVArtwork.com. And last but not least, Quick Lane, our good friends at Valley Ford Truck. Check them out, Bill Hershey and Bill Opelich. Home of the low price tire guarantee. You find a matching set of tires cheaper anywhere, and they will match the price. No questions asked. They'll work around you. They'll work around your schedule, because as I tell you all the time, they understand in 2013, you need your vehicle, you need your transportation, you need to do what you got to do. And so they make sure that you can get the repairs done that you need, get your automotive work done, and still get your work done at the same time. They'll take care of you. There's all kinds of options. Nothing's out of the range. Quicklane.com/Valley Ford Truck. Great people, great repairs, great conversation when it comes to Cleveland sports too. But as I know, all that really matters is how they work on your car, and they take care of business. Quicklane.com/Valley Ford Truck. Check them out. 5715 Canal Road, just under the 480 Bridge out there in Valley View. All right, phone lines are open. 216-539-7535. Don't know how long they're going to be open, though, because in just a few minutes, as I said, Ryan Ruiz is going to join us. We've got Mike Brandenberry coming up, Ed Doherty. I will open the phone lines back up again at the end of the show. 216-539-7535. Hit us up on Facebook. We'll read your comments on the air. Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. While you're there, become a fan of the show. Slowly creeping up on 19,000 Facebook fans and followers between the two pages there. Hey, if Twitter's your thing, we do that too. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. As many people have, you can send your questions in to us. When we have people on, we can't open the phone lines. We'll read them right there on the air. So tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. Plus, you never know what kind of giveaways and stuff we're going to do exclusively on our social media sites. You can email us, thesportsfix@AOL.com. And of course, this website, or if you're not listening live, the website for The Sports Fix is thesportsfix.net. It's got all the replays of every day shows, widgets, and links to all of our social media, and so much more. Your one-stop shop for The Sports Fix is most definitely thesportsfix.net. Now, before we get rolling, as Jeff Gorman tweets me and says, this is how we do it, as we get rolling here, before I talk about the Browns, I know Ryan Ruiz is calling in just a minute. We've got so much. Yesterday, while we were on the air, I got the little blurb came across and did some texting, and just as it was breaking, we were talking about the NFL making the settlement, $765 million to help retired players. I'll tell you what, though. I looked at this and I thought about it overnight more and more, and several things hit me. While, yes, this is at least a start, and it is at least something, first, and let me break down what the settlement is. Of that $765 million, the vast majority of it, $650 million or so, is going to go towards treatment and prevention, and that they've got also a pool of cash that's going to go to players, individual payouts, and they've got different levels. If you've got full-blown Alzheimer's disease, you can get capped out at a $5 million settlement, $4 million, and it goes down throughout the various levels of whether you've got brain trauma and damage and dementia. It's I'm reading it. It's kind of scientific how they broke it down, which, you know, kind of dehumanizes it and makes it a little bit easier perhaps for people to talk about it, because you take the human element out. But $765 million sounds like a big amount of money, and it is. But when you think about, okay, they've got 20 years to pay this settlement out. They have 3 years to pay half of it. So they've got to pay, what's half of that? Roughly, you know, $375 million or so, $380 million has to be paid in full within the first 3 years. But then they get 17 years to pay off the other half of that, the other 50% of that. So think about the NFL and its revenues and take that 20-year period. You know, here we sit, it's 2013. Let's not even go 20 years in the future. Let's just go to 2025. Estimates are, in just 12 years in the future, that the amount of money, the amount of revenue coming in, exactly as Vashon chimes in here about the NFL generating $9 billion per year, by 2025, the estimated NFL revenue will be $27 billion in the year of 2025. So think about that. And then put that in context with the money that they signed. It really is, as Kevin Way was very, very out there in his Twitter. He was tweeting a lot last night, very critical of the deal. And I started seeing that. That's what made me start looking into this more and more. And the other thing is, tell me that everybody sitting out there doesn't believe that this $765 million isn't going to just be passed right along to the consumer, whether it's through raising the ticket prices, through raising jersey prices, licensing fees, all these different things. They're just going to pass that buck right on along to the consumer. Meanwhile, the amount of money that the NFL makes is absolutely absurd. And, you know, I talked to Reggie Rucker a little bit off the air, and I made some phone calls, and a lot of guys are in the middle on the fence on this because they're happy that they got something and that they got a decent chunk to start what they're doing with here. But there's a lot of people taking the tack of what I was just talking about the drop in the bucket and how much was left on the table. Of course, to the NFL, the quicker and the easier they could wipe their hands of this, especially before you hit the beginning of the season here, and you can take this distraction and this negative PR off the table. It behooved the NFL to wipe this thing away. But, you know, there's a lot of people in the middle. We'll talk more about this, too. But, I mean, it is groundbreaking. And it does, as Vashon has a great point in the chat room, it's basically hush money because they admitted no wrongdoing. So they were able to alleviate themselves of having to admit that they knew that there were risks to the players or anything. And that's basically what it is. It was kind of like, and I got a chance to talk to Reggie Rucker and Jim Brown a few months back on a national panel when they were doing the rounds talking about the settlement with the video games and the older players as well. You know, again, felt that they left a lot of money on the table, especially when we talked off the air. But at the same time, when they looked at it from the how many people needed the money and how many people needed help, it was mostly on the player side of it. You know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. And they kind of had to take the deal because it was this deal or the potential of no deal. And you see the position. You see the position of leverage that the NFL was in all these different types of negotiations. Because at the end of the day, when you leave it in the hands of a court, of a judge, of all the different things involved in that, yeah, sometimes it goes your way, but sometimes it doesn't. And as they say, a bird in the hand is worth more than two in the bush. But when you're dealing with real-life health problems, when you've got real-life things and people that need things taken care of, you know, that puts a lot more pressure on the player side. And, you know, the owners, you know, it's not like they're above using that to their advantage. But regardless, I have no doubt that this settlement will increase the price of tickets across the league over the next few years. And the NFL, they won't even have to dip into the TV money to pay this. They'll just dip into our pockets. But we'll talk more about that as it goes. I want to hit the break because when we come back, the Browns finally wrapped up the preseason last night. And for the last time, I promise you, we're going to talk about preseason football. When we come back, Ryan Ruiz from the Inscriber is going to join us. We're going to talk about some wrapping up of the preseason. We're going to talk about these final roster spots. Ryan and I have got, you know, some of these players we want to talk about who hopefully maybe does or doesn't. I know they're all sitting there with crossed fingers right now, hoping that they make this roster on Saturday. We'll talk about those final roster decisions and the end of the preseason. Ryan Ruiz from the Inscriber joins us next. Plus, don't forget Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com. We're going to break down the Jason Kubel acquisition for the Indians, preview the Tigers, Ed Doherty, high school football, so much more. Tell somebody to tune in because this Sports Fix has just gotten locked and loaded, Daddy. That's where I land. Oh! What a big payback.
When it comes to Cleveland sports, we go from
can't touch this
to
I can't watch this.
So listen to The Fix. It's easier on the eyes.
Portions of The Sports Fix brought to you by GV Art and Design. Find all the hottest Cleveland sports gear online at gvartwork.com or at their brand new store on Detroit Avenue in Lakewood.
I'm here again with Bill Opelich from Quick Lane at Valley Ford. Bill, what's new in the Quick Lane?
Battery rebate. Summer is just as hard on your battery as the winter. Quick Lane at Valley Ford will test your battery at no charge. And if you need a battery, we have a $25 mail-in rebate on the purchase of a tested Tough Motorcraft battery starting at $79.95.
Wow, that's a great deal, Bill. Tell me more.
Our brake rebate is still on until June 30th. $25 per axle with the purchase and installation of Motorcraft brake pads, as well as offering a $50 rebate when you purchase $250 or more and charge your Ford genuine credit card. Some exclusions apply. As always, we have a low price guarantee on all our tires. If you find the same price within 30 days, we will refund the difference. Stop in. Let us check your battery and top off your washer fluid.
Where do I have to go to get those great deals?
Come to Quick Lane at Valley Ford on Canal Road between Rockside and Granger in Valley View, just 10 minutes from downtown Cleveland. We're open at 7 every day. Open late Monday through Thursday till 9, Friday till 6, and Saturday till 2.
Go to quicklane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
Incoming transmission. You got a message.
Sports Fix listeners, don't wait all week to join in on the fun. Follow the Sports Fix on Facebook.
Follow the Sports Fix on Facebook.
They love friends. It's just a click away. Exclusive contests, trivia, tickets, and giveaways from the hottest sports show in town, the Sports Fix. Become a friend and follow the Sports Fix on Facebook today.
Football season is party season at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. And no matter who you root for, everyone wins at Harry Buffalo. Every Sunday, the Sports Fix is broadcasting live with giveaways and prizes. And joining you in watching all the Browns action with Bud Light beer specials and $10 Hair of the Dog pictures.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. That's some fun.
Plus, every Monday night, catch the Monday Night Football action with some of your favorite Browns players. Football season is most definitely party season. And your headquarters is Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. Harry Buffalo. Join the herd.
Hey everybody, this is Jerry the King Lawler from WWE, and you're listening to the Sports Fix.
Now, back to the Sports Fix.
Yeah, you know what it is. Brown and orange, brown and orange, brown and orange, brown and orange. Yeah, you know what it is. Brown and orange, brown and orange, brown and orange, brown and orange.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Sports Fix, streaming live here on the sportsfix.net. We just got rocking and rolling. J-Rock with you, Daddy, in just a moment. Getting ready to go to the phone lines. I'm going to be joined by my man Ryan Ruiz from the Inscriber. We're going to talk about the final preseason game here for the Browns as they wrap things up against the Bears. And hey, you know what? For what it is, as I always say, I guess whether the games count or not, winning is always better than losing. And they go 3-1 in the preseason here. They look, you know, looking back, I will say this. The last time, and this is according to Jonathan Knight, the sports writer extraordinaire, last time they went 3-1 in the preseason, I do believe, was 1994 when they went to the playoffs back under Bill Belichick and back before they moved and all that other stuff. But, you know, they do wrap it up one way or the other. They get it done. And, you know, I think we saw a lot of good things. I think we saw a lot of things still that are going to be unanswered until the bullets start flying and until we're out there seeing what's going on, starting, of course, next Sunday with the Miami Dolphins and kicking things off for this season. Welcome back to the show. Going to open up the phone lines in just a little bit. Hit us in, Vince, in the chat room. Yeah, winning an exhibition game is a lot like kissing your sister, you know. Welcome back to the show. Going to the phone lines right now. My man, Ryan Rue, is with us. First off, Ryan, how are you doing on this beautiful Friday afternoon?
J-Rock, for the past two weeks, you've told me how I have not sounded excited enough for you, so in honor of your professional wrestling career and Matt Reeps and the end of the preseason, here it goes. Woo!
There we go. You definitely sound excited. You sound excited to be here, my man. How you doing today? The Browns are less than excited to be there last night. I mean, you, really, both teams, every team going through the motions last night. The Browns most definitely. But, you know, they wrap up with a victory, which is, of course, better than wrapping up with a defeat, I guess. But, you know, looking at last night's game, like I said, we got to see an extended look at Brian Hoyer. We got to see a couple of players who needed to see some work, got a little bit of work. I was really surprised at how much Quentin Groves was out there, and O'Neal Cousins got some more work. So what did you take away, or what can you take away anyways, on your list of what you took from last night's game? Really, not a whole lot to be taken, but go ahead, my man.
I mean, actually, J-Rock, there is a lot to be taken. I know it was another meaningless exhibition game, but, you know, like you said, Hoyer with a very nice performance. He did throw two interceptions, but he threw for 300 yards. I really like Hoyer's fluid throwing motion over the top. Kind of reminds me of like a Peyton Manning, really over the top. And, you know, this game was about filling out the bottom part of the roster, which you and I are going to talk about. But there's a lot to be taken. You mentioned earlier Torrey Gurley. I mean,
He came up with a couple of good catches last night. Ryan, you know what I mean? Came up with a couple of good catches last night. He was trying to earn a spot on that roster, man.
He was better than David Nelson. David Nelson looked like he hadn't played. He was rusty, but he also looked like he just wasn't even in there, and he couldn't even stay on his feet.
Well, you
and
know
I,
what?
I called it since day one. I have a feeling there's a good chance that David Nelson could start the season on the PUP list. He did
I'll tell you what, I don't know. I agree with you. I don't know what the Browns are going to do there, because they gave him an extended opportunity. He was targeted 9 times. Of the 9 passes thrown his way, he caught 4 of them. But as you said, there were several times, and Bernie Kosar did a good job of explaining on the air exactly, Vishon, that not making excuses for him, but by not playing for a year and not being out there, I liked the way Bernie explained that the reason he was slipping was because he didn't have that tight running form that you get once you've been out there day after day and week after week, and that was really his first time out there in over a year. And I agree, I'm not big on making excuses, but that's realistic. I don't know what they do with him going forward here, but you know, I know he's somebody that they had high hopes on. Now, whether, as we've seen, this regime seems to be not interested in waiting for later. You know, they seem to, have their fill of injuries pretty quickly. So I want to see how they handle David Nelson. But you're right, Gurley really impressed me, man. He came up with a couple of good plays, even when he had to break off a route, and a couple of good athletic catches as well. That's somebody I'd like to see find a way to stick, whether it's, and you know what? As Jim Donovan brought up a lot last night, a guy like, you know, him will play special teams, whereas David Nelson won't be out there playing special teams. There's going to be other things in that bottom and wide receiver position, you know, that's going to go into it. I agree that they didn't go after Nelson to cut him, but, you know, whether he perhaps sees less playing time, he's going to need to work his way back into there more. He's clearly not ready now, I don't think, to be on the field right now.
No, he's not. And guys like Gurley, like you said, the versatility, when the bottom half of this, I'm sorry, the bottom part of the roster, versatility is what matters. You got to be able to play special teams. You got to be able to be on a good hands team. You got to be able to do different things, not just be a wide receiver. And Gurley does that, and Nelson doesn't. And it's you know, it's not Nelson's fault. He was an ACL injury at the first game last year. Sorry, I got a clock going in the background. But it's just, it's guys like Gurley who had nothing to lose. I think he outplayed Nelson yesterday. And that one pass that sailed over Nelson's head, he didn't even go for it. And that's just something you can't do. You can't.
Well, you know what? I'll be honest, though. Bernie picked up on that, and I think he said that he may not have even been able to at that point. I'll tell you what. I like the promise of Nelson, and I think that Nelson can contribute to this team later on. I just know that right off the bat, he's not. Josh Cooper, you know, he definitely did a lot to show this team that he is looking for a spot on the roster. I mean, and I think there's a chance that he makes this team this year, especially because wide receivers are going to get a little more slack due to Josh Gordon missing that first two games of the season there. You know, you talked about the versatility, though. We saw that on display last night. How about Shane Graham not being able to go at go time, and Spencer Lanning comes out kicking field goals, and after a shaky start on his first one, he nails himself a couple of field goals there, man. I mean, there's some versatility for you. I like that. I got a kick out of seeing that last night. And hey, it lets you know that in an emergency, you know, you do have somebody that can put the ball through the uprights.
Yeah, like Kozar was saying last night, you don't have to put Kellen Davis in there to kick a game-winning field goal at the end like he had to do in the 80s when Matt Barr went down. But you're right, versatility is what these coaches look for, and that's how you're going to get on the team. And I think Spencer Lanning landed a spot yesterday because of it, because of being able to punt. And in an emergency, if Shane Graham goes down, if this was a regular season game, though, Graham's kicking.
He
hurt his back in warm-ups, but if it's a regular season game, he's kicking.
It's just funny. He double duty. He held two punts, hit 50 over both of them, but hit them two field goals as well. Vashawn chimes in about Nelson. If he gets cut, he will be snatched up by a playoff contender. I'm telling you. I'm in David Nelson's corner. I've been rooting for him. Maybe I root for the underdog a lot, but I've been rooting for him since the Browns brought him aboard. I really thought he's 6'5". He could be a red zone threat. There's a lot of things that he could do. But I do think that we saw last night that he's still a ways away from being able to compete at the NFL level. I mean, he was having trouble last night when it was, you know, basically the walkthrough heading into the regular season. And look, some of those guys were getting at it, man. I'm not trying to take away from that at all. But what I'm saying is the speed of last night is not close to what the speed's going to be starting next Sunday. And that's what I'm saying is, and I agree with you, I don't know if there's a deadline. I don't know exactly what it is to put them on the injured list where you're only out for the first 6 weeks of the season and then the team has the chance to evaluate you. But I could see them stashing David Nelson on that list to give themselves time to see if he can get there. Because I think, like we said, there's a reason they signed him, but they need to develop him and get him back to where he's at.
I love you, Vashawn. You always comment. So David Nelson was a risk that the Browns took. And I'm with you. I'm in his corner, too. And I was in his corner when he was a Buffalo Bill because, you know, if you're like me and everybody else, everybody plays fantasy football, and he was a cool pickup in 2011. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, I can see him starting the season on the PUP list, and it would be like the Phil Taylor situation last year, J-Rock. Remember Phil sat out the
absolutely.
First six to 8 weeks or something? He was on the PUP list and then came off.
And that's that. And you know what? You know, because I see they need some flexibility here. I think there's a couple of moves coming here in the next few days. Bernie brought it up at the end of the broadcast as well. Them perhaps stashing him there to buy themselves a few weeks to decide what to do there, give him time to catch up. Because I think, as Bernie said last night, that there's going to be several players, I think, on this final 53 that are not members of the Cleveland Browns right now. I think they've got their eyes on a couple of players, and they're going to wait until other teams make these cuts. I think this roster, the bottom seven, eight roster spots, and maybe an upgrade a little bit higher up, is still in flux depending on what other teams do between now and Saturday.
I agree. Tank Carter last year was an example of that. He wasn't on he wasn't on the team. I think we signed him.
He played
up
last night. He played last night. He showed up good on film last night for sure.
He's another special teams player that has versatility. And, man, I wish the Browns wouldn't have got rid of Blake Costanzo. Remember him?
He was all over the place last night.
Oh, man, he was all over the place. And it would be cool if Tank Carter could become our special teams demon like Costanzo was. But you got guys like JMJ, James Michael Johnson. I know him personally.
He's on that bubble. He's on that bubble, man.
He's on that bubble. I think LJ Fort earned himself a spot. I've always liked LJ Fort. He started at the Eagles game last year, the opener. I think Josh Cooper, going back to what you said, Josh Cooper's a Cleveland Brown. The guy is solid. He runs crisp routes. He has soft hands. He has camaraderie and friendship with Brandon Whedon. So, you know, I think Josh Cooper is a Cleveland Brown.
I'll tell you what, I wasn't sure that he was going to have a chance to make it, but I'm with you. I think he falls through because when they cut Jordan Norwood, that's when I said, hey, Josh Cooper has a real chance to make this 53 here. But, you know, as we're wrapping things up here, because I definitely am done talking about the preseason, and next week when you and I talk, we will be previewing some real, by God, football. I cannot wait. But
absolutely.
Of these cuts, give me your sleeper guy. Who do you think has, you know, maybe might end up on this roster that people aren't looking at right now. Hey, it's a sleeper, right or wrong, it doesn't matter. But is there anybody you'd really like to see make this squad?
I'm going to give you a couple because it's tough to just nail one guy down. But I like from camp, from the games, I like everything I saw out of Josh Aubrey, number 37. He's a safety.
Yeah, absolutely.
The question is, are the Browns going to carry five safeties? Because you got to remember what's going to happen with Jamorre Slaughter. And you got Gibson, you got Bottomosi, and you got Ward. But Josh Aubrey can play special teams. He was down there on punt returns. The guy, I think the guy can play football. I like him. Josh Aubrey from Stephen Austin in Texas.
Yeah, I think Aubrey and Gurley are going to give this coaching staff some things to consider here as it comes down to these final few spots, because both of those guys, I really believe those guys don't make it to the practice squad. I could be wrong. You know, Gurley, I'm looking at him last night and I'm going, there's got to be a team with receiver problems that would at least take a look at this guy. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's something. You know, hey, by the way, I was joking last night. I texted somebody as soon as the game was over, and I said, if I'm Joe Banner right now, I'm on the phone with the New York Jets trying to get the house for Brian Hoyer right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look at what he did. Look at what he did, Rex Ryan. Look, man, he could do that for you.
I'll tell you what, remember a few years ago when all of our quarterbacks went down and came down to Colt McCoy, our third-string quarterback? God forbid that happened this year. At least we can still be competitive with Hoyer.
No, I had some people saying that they didn't think the Browns might not carry three quarterbacks into the season. Joe Banner doesn't like three quarterbacks, but I disagree because of what you just said. How many years here in Cleveland have we seen it get down to the third quarterback? And not only that, you've got issues with Whedon's mobility, although he appears to be a little more athletic this year. Campbell's got injury issues as well. In a heartbeat, you can go from three quarterbacks to one. So I agree with you. I think last night, if there were any questions in the Browns, I think last night made them say, we're gonna keep him on this roster. I mean, I didn't think they brought him here to cut him, but last night, at least, I think, assumed them to know that if the sky starts falling on both of their quarterbacks, at least they can put this guy out here and he can carry out the game plan and I think get him where they need to go. I like what we saw. And plus, you know, he's one of our guys. He's one of us. And you always got to love when one of those guys, you know, the whole making the hometown team story. I don't care. Some people don't care about that. I think it's cool. I dig it. Hopefully he makes the team. I think he did a good job last night. If not, he did a good enough job to get a job somewhere, in my opinion.
Yeah, you won't be able to slip him by the goalie. I mean, if you release him, you're going to lose him. Somebody's going to pick him up, so that's not going to happen. You're not going to put him on the practice squad. This isn't a Thaddeus Lewis that you can, you know, squeak by everybody and throw on the practice squad. You got to be right. I bet that Rex Ryan is salivating right now. Man, I wish I had Brian Hoyer.
Those guys don't have anything. There was a poll, I think ESPN did a poll, asked people which option was the best at quarterback, and it doesn't matter, had like 60% of the vote. That'll show you how great the quarterback situation is there. But we'll find out how ours is. We'll find out if Brandon Whedon is where we want him to be or not, and we'll see what's up and all of that. And hey, Vashon, calm down. Listen, we're having fun talking about Brian Hoyer because Brian Hoyer played the whole game last night. Nobody says he's going to go out here and be the next Joe Montana, but I thought he did put himself on film pretty good. Tell you what, Ryan, let's wrap things up. Next week, we're going to talk about some real football. I want to get your predictions here. We'll go around the NFL. We'll see what you're looking to see as well. We'll see who the Browns picked up as they finalize this roster. And real quick, Adam, with a question on Twitter, who's going to win? We're going to talk to Ed Doherty, some high school football, in about 25 minutes or so. Who's going to win, Eds or Glenville? Big game this weekend. Ryan Ruiz, who you got?
Oh, St. Edwards. I'm going to go with Justin Staples and Matt Reeps as St. Edwards.
There you go. We're going to talk to Ed about that in a little bit. It's always a good time to have you on the show. Don't forget, when you want to talk to our guests, you can tweet us anytime at the Sports Fix CLE when we're not taking phone calls. Ryan, you have a good week, and watch some Indians baseball and get ready to see what the Browns are getting ready to do, because next Friday we're going to be talking about it, you and I, and we're going to get your predictions, not just for the Browns season, but for the entire NFL. We'll have some fun because the football's real now, I promise.
I look forward to it, J-Rock. This has been fun.
All right.
And I look forward to talking to you again next week.
You got that right. Ryan Ruiz from the Inscriber, thank you so much. We talk to him every Friday talking Browns football throughout the season. Ryan, you have a good one. We're going to take the break, and we're going to flip the script when we come back. We're going to talk some Indians baseball. Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com is going to join us. We're going to talk about the trade for Jason Kubel, the series that was in Atlanta, and the series to be in Detroit. All of that and more. We're talking Indians baseball next. Plus, don't forget, Ed Doherty coming up a little bit after 1 o'clock talking about the high school football. All the do's and don'ts, ins and outs, who to look for, who to watch for. All the high school football action. It starts this week. It started last night, actually. Ed Doherty joins us at 105. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Talking Indians baseball next on the Sports Fix.
Take a look at history and all that we've achieved. How we battled for our team and won. And we love our rivalries. They're a part of what we need.
The Sports Fix, your choice for intelligent talk.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Intelligent talk.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
These guys must be on the wrong station.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.
The Sports Fix. It's an addiction. The Sports Fix. We'll be right back.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Harry Buffalo. The Sports Fix will be live at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted for each and every Cleveland Browns game. So come on out and join in the fun. Go Browns!
You love Cleveland, and you already know how much we love Cleveland. You know who else loves Cleveland? GV Art and Design. Everyday fans, you and I wear our pride on our sleeves. Now, you can wear your pride on your chest. GV Art and Design has one of the hottest Cleveland sporting lines. Whether it's their Cleveland That I Love design, or perhaps it's the Superman Birthplace of a Hero line of team-themed designs, whether you're a fan of the Indians or Browns, the Lake Erie Monsters or the CSU Vikings, the Cleveland Cavaliers, or just Cleveland in general, GV Art and Design has a logo, design, or style for you. Sports Fix listeners, as a special treat, every time you make a purchase from GV Art and Design, use the sales code FIX and save 10% on your total purchase. Log on right now to GVArtwork.com, check out all of their fantastic designs,
and don't forget, use the sales code FIX to save 10% on your total purchase.
Follow GVArtwork.com on Facebook, and remember, GV Art and Design, it's not just a shirt, it's a statement.
Sports Fix listeners, do you tweet? So do we. So tweet with us 24/7 at the Sports Fix CLE.
Business owners and professionals, do you want to take your business, your product, your team, your event to the next level? You want to advertise right here with the Sports Fix. Our listeners are among the most loyal listeners, terrestrial or internet. The Sports Fix universe is not only the radio show, but tens of thousands of fans on Facebook and Twitter. Email me, Jerry Myers, thesportsfix@AOL.com. That's thesportsfix@AOL.com. And let me help you swing for the fences and hit it out of the park right here on the Sports Fix.
I'm Tyler Zeller from the Cleveland Cavaliers, and you're listening to the Sports Fix.
Good morning, I'm Doug Brown. Redskins quarterback Robert Griffin III says he's cleared to play in the season opener against the Eagles. Coach Mike Shanahan won't sign off on that yet. He hasn't decided whether Griffin will start a week from Monday night. Ravens wideout Torrey Smith tweets that today is the worst day in the NFL, the day after the last preseason games. Teams now making decisions on players. Rosters have to be down to 53 by 6 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. Giants running back Andre Brown has a broken left leg from last night's preseason finale against the Patriots. It's the second time in less than a year the leg has been broken, but Brown says this one is not as serious, and he hopes to be back later this season. Phil Mickelson starts on the back nine today at the Deutsche Bank Championship at TPC Boston, and he shoots a 7-under 28 on his first nine. He leads by three shots. Tiger Woods is 2-under after nine. U.S. Open today, 1 p.m. Eastern, live coverage on ESPN2 HD.
Kick things up a notch with the Subway Buffalo Chicken $6 footlong special. Grilled chicken strips tossed in kicking buffalo sauce and piled high atop freshly baked bread like Italian. A $6 footlong special this August only. Subway. Eat fresh.
You're listening to The Sports Fix.
Welcome back to The Sports Fix, streaming live here on thesportsfix.net. Wow, we're right at that midway point. 12:45 on the dot, halfway down, halfway to go. Still got so much to go. Thank you so much, by the way, Ryan Ruiz from The Inscriber, for joining us talking Browns. And thank the Lord, wrapping up the preseason for good this year, as now at least the football starts to get a little more serious. Serious business. Let's talk about the Indians as we get back to the Sports Mix. J-Rock with you and getting ready to go to the phone lines, because apparently the Indians front office, you know, give them credit. You might not like the move they made. They might not be anything, but they did do something because they realized that, hey, we might have something here, and we just need to do something to try to uncork this offense, try to get some kind of spark going. And what they did in the middle of the night last night was acquire Jason Kubel from the Diamondbacks, who, you know, 2 years ago, oh, I was all about the Cleveland Indians picking him up at the trade deadline. I mean, he had several good power hitting years in a row, including last year. You know, 30 home runs, but this year injury concerns have really tailed him off to where I don't know what the Indians acquired. I know that they didn't pay much for it, and they're not going to be paying him much to do his job, but he's here, and is he that spark? Let's ask my man, Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com. Mike, welcome back to the Sports Fix, my man. How you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good, Jerry. I probably owe you and your listeners a little apology. I was talking on Monday, and I thought you were starting to wrap up, and I went back and listened to the show afterwards, and I found out you were still talking to me.
It's no big deal. I just said, hey, man, he had to go. We got to go, too. It's all good. Don't worry about it, man. Hey, live radio, daddy, you know. But welcome in. Hopefully you had a good, you know, first week back teaching the kiddos, doing your thing there. Indians, whew, they at least, you know, recognized that what happened in Atlanta was not ideal, because the pitching was there. Offense did not get on the plane, and they know that they've got a chance to contend with this pitching, and that's why they made the move they made to Jason Kubel. What are your thoughts right off the top of your head?
Yeah, I thought it was a great move where, you know, not really a lot of risk, potential for some reward. I mean, in fairness, like you said, coming back from the break, Jason Kubel's had some injuries. He's really struggled. Hit 220 this year. But a change of scenery, you never know, could catch lightning in a bottle for a month. You know, kind of similar to a little bit of what Mark Reynolds is doing with the Yankees. In fairness, I don't think had Mark Reynolds stayed with the Indians, you know, that he would be finding that little bit of lightning in a bottle like he has so far. Kubel, you know, certainly has the same chance to do that. And he's a guy that the Indians have definitely had their eye on and been linked to in the past. I think it's an interesting move in that he has an option for next year, and I certainly don't think the Indians are about to pick up his option for $7.5 million for 2014. But if he does come in and he does play well back in the American League, and really back in the American League Central Division where he's spent the better part of his career, you know, you almost have to wonder if the Indians' prior interest in him and their willingness to give him a chance this September could possibly lay the groundwork to re-sign him over the winter if that's a road that they want to go. But, you know, in the short term, I think he's a good left-handed hitter who I assume is going to DH probably against right-handers mostly. I can't really see him getting very much outfield time with the three that they have out there that are so superb defensively. And honestly, I think Ryan Rayburn's probably a better glove out there too. So when you're fifth, you know, when it comes to defense, I would assume that he's pretty much just a designated hitter at this point. But yeah, I don't think it's a bad spark, and especially his roster's
start to expand and will officially on Sunday, I think it's a good move.
And you know what? The Indians may be looking at the double whammy of two things that you just mentioned, and that is coming back to the American League and to the American League Central as well of the expanding rosters, because you know that that means watered down pitching across the board. And perhaps they're thinking that the combination of those two factors could get him going. I mean, this is a guy who last year hit 30 home runs, drove in nearly 100 RBIs. He averaged 24 home runs a season for the last few years. Indians, as you've said, have had their eye on him for years. This is a guy that if he gets something going, like you said, like Mark Reynolds, can really spark you. And I think maybe that watered down pitching could help not just him, that could help the Indians in general here, because they've got the soft schedule that we've talked about. A lot of these teams are out of it, so a lot of these teams will be throwing out young pitchers and throwing out arms to eat up innings. So artificially, you can kind of get your offense going perhaps as well and combine it with this. Where do you think Tito puts him in this lineup right now?
I would think he would bury him low, and in all honesty, I would hope he buries him low. You know, he's still a struggling hitter at 220. You know, when you get the DH back this weekend, I would assume that Cabrera probably hits six, and then maybe you slot Kubel in seven. It just seems like, you know, you still want that power. You don't want it buried completely at the bottom, but I would think, you know, a guy like Drew Stubbs is still going to hit ninth, and you're going to want Kubel in front of him. And then, you know, I would also assume when we get back into American League play now, you're going to see a little bit more of Yan Gomes, and that really might kind of become your platoon, where Yan Gomes plays and Santana DHs, and if Gomes doesn't play, then you're going to have Santana behind the plate and Kubel the DH. So I would think that Kubel probably hits seventh or eighth. You know, it kind of looks to me like an indication that they're going to start to go with Mike Avilas more over Lonnie Chisenhall, and not just against left-handed hitters. You know, maybe Avilas fits right in that same spot, seven and eight there.
And you know what? That ties in, too, with putting Kubel there in the bottom of that lineup. As you said, maybe some of these different combinations, it adds more combinations, more things for the Indians to do as they attempt to get this offense on track. Now let's talk about this Atlanta series. As Bruce is pointing out in the chat room, some people are jumping on the Indians, and a lot of people, once again, how many times have we said this, jumping off the bridge because of, and obviously you didn't want to go to Atlanta and get swept, but you know, I'm encouraged by the way the pitching was. Each game undone by one bad inning, and still that level of bad is relative when you look at the number of runs given up overall. When you've got that, and I know they don't want to waste that pitching, but look at how you sit here. You're still only four games back in the wild card. You only lost, what, half a game to the Tigers because they were struggling. Once again, those other teams in front of us allowed us to not get too much distance put between us.
I think that's why people are frustrated in all reality, is because, you know, we talked on Monday about trying to survive this week, and not just are they not surviving, but they could have, on the other side, you know, instead of just surviving, they could be making ground, and they're not. And, you know, they're certainly running out of time. And in fairness, you know, at some point, it's going to be put up or shut up time. And I don't know that we're to that point yet, but they certainly have had a golden opportunity this week. And I think when you look at all three of those games, they're games that, you know, they got swept. If you changed three innings, one in each game, they easily could have left Atlanta with three wins instead of three losses. And
yes,
I think
sir.
That's the frustrating part. If they would have gone to Atlanta and just soundly been beaten, I think you can handle that the Braves are a better team. But when you do everything that you should to win except score runs, and then you watch your competition that you're chasing, you know, flounder too, I think that leaves a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. But, you know, we'll see. Like you said, they've certainly at least survived. They haven't lost any ground, although they haven't made up any. But this is a big weekend. I think this weekend with the Tigers is pretty big in the sense that they have struggled all season with Detroit. And, you know, now is an opportunity where they're not playing very well where the Tigers are not playing very well. And if the Indians have any hopes of really getting back into this division race and trying to crawl closer in the wild card, you know, I think this is a big weekend, because if you go to Detroit and you let them flip the switch the way they have on Cleveland all year long, and you lose two out of three or you get swept, you know, you're going to pretty much close out any hopes in the division. And, you know, depending on what happens, Oakland's playing pretty well right now, taking 3 of 4 from Detroit. You know, if they go out and have a nice weekend, you know, you might find yourself on Labor Day looking up, needing to make up 6 games in 4 weeks, you know, to a playoff spot. And I don't think that's where you want to be. So, you know, we've talked about it before. They have an easy September schedule, but they have to get to it to make it matter. And I think these 3 games with Detroit are huge.
Huge. Craig Ashbrook chimes in the chat room, and Bruce just followed it up. He said, how about Ubaldo? Not only the last 6 weeks, but back-to-back, as I brought it up, first person since CeCe was here to go back-to-backs with double-digit strikeouts. Last night, 10 strikeouts, no walks. What are your thoughts? I mean, we've talked about Ubaldo, but he's getting stronger and more impressive here as the season goes on. You've got to give him that.
Oh, yeah, no joking aside. I mean, Ubaldo, you know, is probably my favorite person to take shots at, because of just the frustration of what he was supposed to be versus what he is in the Indians trading for him in 2011. But, you know, the last couple weeks, he's been the guy they traded for in 2011. That's what they wanted.
That's right.
I mean, and he's been solid. And talking about, you know, their pitching and their hopes for September, if they can find some offense, I mean, right now, the way their arms are throwing with Masterson and with Ubaldo, I mean, it almost sounds ridiculous to hear it finally come out of your mouth that those might be your top two pitchers at this point. But in complete reality, they are. And McAllister has given them good outings. And, you know, I think they've been pretty guarded with Salazar, but we'll see how they continue to approach that. And I'll be surprised if Josh Tomlin's not activated to this roster by, you know, Monday or Tuesday of this week. If they give him one more start in Columbus before activating him, I can see that. But I would expect him to be on this roster definitely by this time next week. But I would say early next week, you know, Monday, Tuesday in there. And you know, I mean, their starting pitching is doing everything that they can. I mean, it's quite an explanation, or, you know, that's how baseball works. And that, you know, we left Goodyear with the idea that this team would struggle with starting pitching but have a strong bullpen and score runs. And here we are headed to September 1st, and we're relying on starting pitching and just hoping to scratch out enough runs. And as long as you know, can go to only about 3 or 4 guys in the bullpen, you know, you can count on them. But it's funny how baseball seasons change that way. But this starting pitching is definitely the strength of this team right now.
Yeah, we've said it. I've joked before. If this team starts hitting at this point, they might not lose a game in September the way the pitching has showed up if they get that offense untracked. You talked about those reinforcements. Tito said yesterday they're coming up in 2 waves next week. Sunday, the first chance they get, they're going to bring a wave of guys up, and then the second ones are going to come later on in the week, perhaps Wednesday or Thursday. He's expecting a couple of pitchers, a catcher, and an infielder to come up early, and then it'll be all pitchers coming up later on in the week. So, you know, and all of that is stuff that we've talked about to look forward to. Like you said, though, this weekend here, you've got to go out there and make it happen. You've got to make September meaningful. But the thing I keep saying about that Atlanta series is the runners left on base. To me, I mean, they're there. That's a good pitching staff we were facing. That's a good team. They should have won all 3 games of that series. And I hate to play the woulda, coulda, shoulda game, but they should have won all those games. That hit, you got to think that it's going to come. It came for them all season long. They've lived on the 2 outs. They've lived on the, you know, scoring with runners in scoring position. You got to think that that's going to break through. Maybe Kubel helps or not, but this weekend cannot be overstated how big that is, because you can find yourself come Monday looking up at a mountain or going, all right, let's start chopping wood in September. You've got some pitching matchups this weekend too. Let's talk about that, looking into it, because I know Ed Doherty's going to be joining us in a few, and I know you got to get going. Zach McAllister and Purcello going. You've got Kazmir and Annabelle Sanchez, and then Salazar and Justin Verlander. Hey, that's a nice pitching matchup right there, even with Salazar being so young. I'm looking forward to seeing that. So, going to be an interesting series here with the Indians and the Tigers, and a whole lot at stake for the Tribe.
Yeah, you know, I think definitely the Tigers have the more experienced starting pitching staff, and, you know, it seems like every time they match up, you always say, you know, the Indians will always be at the deficit when it comes to a starting pitching matchup. But right now, you know, as hot as that rotation is, it's probably as close to an even draw as they've had in quite a while. And, you know, I'm right there with you. I think it'll be interesting. I think, you know, the Salazar-Verlander matchup is interesting in itself, but I'd be very interested to see how Danny Salazar does against the Tigers his second time around. I mean, that is a veteran team that makes good adjustments and knows what to expect from him now. And how does Danny Salazar react to that? Because, I mean, that's a real telltale sign as to what kind of quality pitcher you really have in that kid there. And, you know, if he goes out and gives you another good outing, I don't even think it necessarily has to be, you know, great. But if he gives you a good outing against Detroit on Sunday, I think that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's going to say a lot for him because, as you said, second time around, you know. And, you know, here's a couple of numbers that Tribe fans aren't going to want to hear, but it's reality, and you've got to turn that around this weekend. The Tigers have outscored the Indians 103-59 this season and outhit us 173-124. So the Indians definitely have their work cut out for them, but as we said, they're catching Detroit, definitely not playing their best baseball. This is going to be a good series and a good weekend. Indians fans, you should enjoy this one because you've been saying you want it to count in September. Well, last I checked, this weekend becomes September, and it counts for sure. Mike Brandenberry, looking forward to talking to you next week and seeing where we stand as the month of September takes shape.
Thanks a lot. I'm just happy to make it to the end of the segment this time.
Hey, we're glad to have you. Whether you leave early, whether you stay late, whether you've got a fire drill, we're happy to have you with us every chance we get. Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com. You have a good one, my man, and we'll catch up with you next week.
You too. Thanks a lot.
All right, Indians fans. Hey, by the way, don't forget, 1 week from today, talking about wrapping up that homestand, talking about coming home, we've got Indians tickets. Tribe and Mets, we've got some fantastic seats for you. Dollar Dog Night, fireworks, all of that, and playoff level baseball. The Mets coming to town, interleague ball. We've got a pair of tickets. We're giving them away next Thursday. You want to know how you win? It's simple. It's in your court. The ball's on you. How hard do you want to work for it? Promote, come up with something. And the best way I can say it is it's strictly judged by us here at the Sports Fix. This is totally open to the interpretation. But come up with a way to use your social media, to use your YouTube, your Facebook, your MySpace, whatever you've got, Twitter, it doesn't matter. Find a way, come up with a way, a creative way to help promote the show, to get the word out about the Sports Fix. Whoever comes up with the most unique, most original, most entertaining way to spread the word about the show, you're going to win those tickets next week. You've got a whole week to get going, so get them brain cells firing, get them synapses going, come up with something good, and let's see what you got, Cleveland. The challenge is out there. Gunther said he's going to tattoo my face on his arm. Sports Fix logo underneath it. If he goes that far, he not only deserves tickets, but he deserves a straitjacket. But anyways, come up with what you got. Somebody's going to win those tickets, and we're going to send somebody to see the Tribe. And of course, that comes from our good friend Jamie Urso and Tri-State Quality Builders. We're going to hit the break because when we come back, Ed Doherty's going to join us, and we're going to talk about Friday Night Lights, Daddy. High school football is here. It kicked off last night. Big game. Avon Lake with a huge victory. We're going to talk about all of that. Ed's in Glenville coming up this weekend. Ed Doherty, one of the most informative voices about high school football and the voice of the St. Ignatius Wildcats football team, joins us next, live here on the Sports Fix.
I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
Throwing you the best sports commentary in town, The Sports Fix.
It's The Sports Fix. We'll be right back.
Back in 1990, when I joined Herb in the booth, you could say that first game was when I became a lifelong Tribe fan. Something about Cleveland made us want to stay and call it our home, raise our family here. I can promise you one thing, home or on the road, I feel what you folks feel, what you feel every game. Cleveland fans are passionate and pretty vocal. I respect that. This is our team. This is our town. This is a Tribe town.
Sports Fix listeners, like us on Facebook today. Facebook.com/TheSportsFix.
Whether it's an oil change or a new set of tires, Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck has you covered for your car care needs. They're your neighborhood quick service experts. They also offer a low price tire guarantee. Choose from 13 brands, and if you find the same tires at a lower price within 30 days, Quick Lane at Valley Ford will refund the difference. 5715 Canal Road, right under the 480 Bridge in Valley View. Come see why life is better in the Quick Lane. QuickLane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
Football season is party season at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. Everyone wins at Harry Buffalo. Every Saturday is Coors Light College Football Saturday with $6 pitchers, four bottles for $10, and the Buckeyes in full HD. Football season is most definitely party season, and your headquarters is Harry Buffalo North Olmsted all winter long. Harry Buffalo, join the herd.
Need the perfect ingredients for a great tailgating experience? All you need are good friends, football, and your favorite food served hot off the propane grill. When grilling, keep the grill top open when lighting, and don't close it until you're sure the grill is lit. Use soapy water to check for leaks between the hose and cylinder connections. Never use an open flame. Always transport and store cylinders in an upright position, and never store or use cylinders indoors. For more tips, visit usepropane.com. This message was brought to you by your local propane retailer.
Hi, this is Dean Chenoweth, head coach of Cleveland's Lake Erie Monsters, and you're listening to The Sports Fix.
Welcome back to the Sports Fix, streaming live here on thesportsfix.net. We are jamming, rocking, hot, and heavy. Thank you, Mike Brandenberry, for joining us from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com. And hopefully, when we catch up with Mike next week, we are talking about one hell of a weekend with the Tigers and looking at one fantastic month of September. And you know Mike will be with us to talk about it right here next week. Right now, getting ready to shift gears again. Told you guys, we're all over the place. A fast-paced day this weekend. Welcome back to the Sports Fix. J-Rock with you, and we're getting ready to go to the phone lines and talk to my man. He's not only the voice of the St. Ignatius Wildcats radio network, but he's one of the most informative people I know when it comes to high school football here in the area. And that's why I said, man, you've got to be with me here every Friday, and especially here as Friday Night Lights has kicked off high school football. Such a big thing in this area. Going to the phone lines now to talk to my main man, Ed Doherty, the voice of the St. Ignatius Wildcats. Ed, how are you doing on this Friday afternoon, the first Friday of the football season?
Well, this is a great time of year. Just revved up for everybody, and hopefully we can have a good weekend to start it and 10 full weeks of high school football.
You've got that right. Jonathan Knight yesterday said, man, I can't wait. Everybody gets excited at this time of year. You know, last week we did a whole segment of the show and had a really good discussion talking about when the Plain Dealer ranked their top 50 all time there. By the way, did you get a chance to see that list where they had Robert Smith atop the list?
Yeah, I think Robert Smith is probably the best choice to be at the top of the list. And then, you know, that group, the 10 of them that were on that panel, they had maybe 200 or 220 names that they were going to pick from.
Yeah,
and then they went around and around on that and cut it down to 50 and eventually ranked them. And, you know, from the point of view of the St. Ignatius Wildcats, they had 7 of the 50 appear on that list. And they range from players in the early 60s like Brian Dowling all the way up, you know, to guys like Anthony Gonzalez in the mid-2000s and other guys that you know, that played in that time with Charles Dunton. He was also on that list from St. Ignatius.
Yeah, there was a lot of feedback. Some people, you know, agreed with the listings. Some people felt that there was a bias because there were so many of the West Side schools, St. Ignatius and St. Ed's, and represented out there. You know, with that kind of listing, when I talked about it on the air, I said you can never make everybody happy and you can never do it right because there's just too much at play, too much to judge from. I mean, how do you really compare apples to oranges like that? So many great players have come through this area.
Yeah, and like I said, I think Robert Smith is probably the best to be at the top. He's a two-time Mr. Ohio football winner. And then, you know, even number two was Gary Jeter. He was a defensive end here in the area. He played, went on to play in college and then played in the NFL for a while as well. In fact, Gary Jeter did some high school work as an analyst on TV a couple of years ago. So He's a well-known high school player from the late 60s, early 70s. And you go through that list. I don't necessarily have a disagreement with a lot of the players on the list, and it was probably an impossible task. And they brought together some former coaches. You know, Roy Kidd, the former coach at Cleveland, John F. Kennedy, was on that panel. They had about four or five former writers from the Plain Dealer, including Eddie Dwyer and Tim Morsinski. Was on that panel. Branson Wright moderated it for the Plain Dealer. So overall, it's a tough task to do, but I think the list was complete. There are, again, a lot of guys that you just can't put on that list. And people like Jack Lambert finished in the mid-20s on that list.
Yeah, I know.
You know, Lambert, in high school, though, Lambert was a very, very good player at Manaway, at Crest. I think it's Crestview High School out in Manaway. He played at about 205 pounds as a linebacker in college, went on to play at Kent State. But then in the pros, obviously, he just got meaner as it went on. He never really got any bigger. I think he played professionally at about 215 pounds as a middle linebacker and was part of the Steeler dynasty in that time. But there were eight or nine Hall of Famers that were on that list, including Larry Zonka was on that list as well. So it's tough because you know what they did beyond high school. There's a guy for St. Ignatius in terms of Trent Zankiewicz, who was a phenomenal defensive end, mm-hmm. Defensive tackle. Went on to Michigan and had hurt his back during practice and then hurt it again kind of in a non-football related injury and just was never able to recover. And Zankiewicz had 27 sacks in a season as a senior in high school. And that's, I think they played 13 games that year. He had 27 sacks. So he was a tough player to stop. And because you know what some of these other players did beyond high school, in college, in the pros, sometimes people want to put that on, you know, oh, they were a great player in high school when they were a very good player, not necessarily great, and then just elevated it as they went through. They got in the right system in college, got the right coaching, were able to get in the right system as a player, and move on beyond that as well.
Yeah, I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Of course, this is Ed Doherty, the voice of the St. Ignatius Wildcats. You're listening to The Sports Fix if you're just tuning in. That's talking about the players of the past, and every year, every fall, that breath of fresh air comes in because unlike any professional sports, the rite of passage always comes through. Every 4 years you leave, new guys come in, and now new players fill those voids and hope to become the next top 50 in the next 50 years. And things kicked off last night. I mean, you can't ask for more than kicking off the season with two top 25 teams going at it. Avon and Avon Lake kicking things off with a big game last night.
Yeah, that's a traditional rivalry that they've been playing in week one. Avon's got the best of them over the last couple of years. Avon Lake this year, new head coach, longtime coach Dave DeLugas, finally retired out there after 25 or 27 seasons as the head man at Avon Lake. In fact, in that Southwest Conference, which has seven teams this year because Berea and Mid Park combined, they have four new head coaches in that league. Jim Ryan, the longtime head coach at Olmsted Falls, retired as well. Obviously, Berea Mid Park got new coaching just as they merged and blended the two schools. And then North Olmsted, their head football coach, Coach Stachek, took the job as the athletic director at the school, and they brought in an assistant to be the head man there. Avon, on the other hand, eventually is joining that Southwest Conference. They're joining with North Ridgeville, and I think Grafton Midview is the other team that's joining. It'll be a very good league when they get to 10 teams. And that Avon Lake matchup, which has been a traditional week one the last few years, is actually going to move to a week between weeks 3 and 10 as they put it into the conference rotation schedule. It's a matchup that you would expect these two communities. They're together, but they've never been in the same league together. And so they've always played their rivalry in week one right out of the chute, and now they're going to be part of the same conference in the coming years.
And you know what? Looking at this here, as we talk about that, Avon and Avon Lake, and now looking at the top five here, you've got another big matchup this weekend. Of course, somebody asked us earlier to get Ryan Ruiz's prediction on the game. You've got Eds and Glenville as Ted Ginn returns back to the sidelines for Glenville. Another big storyline that kicks off here this weekend.
Yeah, that game is Saturday, tomorrow at Lakewood Stadium. That'll be, I think it's the fourth time that these two teams have opened the season together. I think Edge is a little bigger offensive line. They return everybody on the offensive line from last year. They do have to replace the quarterback. They've got a couple of kids that are going to do that. Coach Rick Finotti's revved up about his team. He's got speed on the outside like you wouldn't believe to catch the football. A couple of kids that have finished in the top 10 and the 100 on the track side are now, full-fledged varsity players. Sean Crawford, in fact, is a junior, plays wide receiver, defensive back for St. Ed's. He's committed to play at Michigan next year. Dowdell is another wide receiver that St. Ed's has. Should be just pure speed out there. They have the athleticism to match up with what you expect the athleticism of a Glenville team to be. And I think they have the bigger horses up front to move the line if Rick Finotti wants to take the air out of the football and just play what used to be smash mouth St. Ed's football, just right off tackle, zone blocking, and just power ahead. That should be a good game. I think Ed's wins that game by anywhere from 10 to 14 points as they'll pull away in the second half on that. A note on St. Ed's, they have 9 games on their schedule, and they don't have to leave home until week 10. Their first 8 games of the season are at home. They don't travel until November 1st when they have to go to Maryland for the final week of the season. So they have a very favorable schedule. They have a lot of returning seniors, and they have a bad taste in their mouth the way the last 2 years have ended in the playoffs. They lost 2 years ago in the regional semis to Ignatius on a 32-yard field goal as time expired. In the last year, they gave up a 21-point lead to Mitch Trubisky and the Mentor Cardinals at Byers Field in the regional semifinal. And Trubisky and the Cardinals came back to beat them 63-56. Definitely the Eagle faithful and Eagle Nation is looking for St. Ed to take that next step and move to that regional final and possibly pick up the school's second state championship in 4 years.
And I'm sure we'll be mentioning them every week throughout the season. Real quick, while we mentioned Glenville there, because Vashon pointed out in the chat room about them missing the playoffs the last few years, and, now with Coach Ginn back on the sidelines, I know that helps. But talk to me a little bit about them switching from Division I to Division II, because they've been so successful on the Division I level. A lot of eyebrows raised there with that one.
Well, the reason they fell to Division II was just based on the fact that they're not in the top 72 in the state in terms of student population, especially on the boys' side is what determines that. And Division I is a little smaller than the rest of the division, so Glenville is going to be considered a big Division II. Only the top 72 teams, as like I said, are in Division I now. And Glenville, along with all the other Cleveland public schools, are now Division II and III. I don't think it'll affect them that much, because all of their Senate games are going to be basically the same points that they would have gotten before. Whereas they were getting 4 or 5 Division I games with the Senate, now they'll all be Division II or III because of how it shakes out. I don't think it'll ultimately matter. For Glenville, it's a matter of them winning. They really ultimately need to win 2 of their first 3 games in order to secure a playoff spot in Division II. If they're 1-2 in those games and then they run through the Senate like they have before and they end up being 8-2, that'll put them on the bubble. Last year, They were 0-3 in those games and finished the season at 7-3 and missed the playoffs, obviously, because they didn't get the computer points of playing their a stronger out-of-conference schedule or winning an out-of-conference game, which really would have helped them. So for Glenville, it's really about what they do in the first three games determines whether or not they'll be playing into November.
Yeah, because that Senate League being what it is, you're absolutely right. Those first three games, you got St. Ed's, then they follow that up with Solon and Cleveland Heights. Three basically top 15 teams there to start off the season, and that's kind of what they have to do based on the league that they play in and the teams that they're going to play that they can't control. They have to play those better teams. You know, talking about looking at the top five here, you've already brought them up. Of course, your school, St. Ignatius, a couple of big injuries here in the offseason that, you know, could affect how things go. I know in the quarterback position as well. Talk to me a little bit about how that's shaking up things with the Wildcats.
Yeah, I mean, from a quarterback perspective, they had anticipated that Pete Mahoney would be the starting quarterback and John Thomas, the other senior, would be the backup. And Pete Mahoney got hurt in practice, hurt his leg, and is officially out for the season, will not play this year for St. Ignatius. So they've got to go to John Thomas as the full-time starter, the senior. All John Thomas did in the first time he had to start was go down to Canton McKinley in the game-setting scrimmage against the Bulldogs, and he threw for 370 yards in the first half against Canton McKinley. And he looked really sharp throwing the football. In that, in the two quarters that he played the majority of the time. So I don't expect them to see a fall off. Both Thomas and Mahoney had been part of the varsity team in terms of backups and got to dress. This will be the third year for both of them. I think if you're looking for an impact, it's probably the injury to Kyle Berger that sustained in that scrimmage against Canton McKinley. He sustained a knee injury, and he also was done for the season. They kind of knew that or anticipated that when it happened, and they confirmed it earlier in the week that Berger will not play this year for the Wildcats. A senior, he's an Ohio State recruit. He was expected to be an all-Ohio kid and possibly make an all-American list at outside linebacker. What they're going to do ultimately, I think, to replace that is they're going to move the player that they use in that 3-3-5 defense, that hybrid position, that plays linebacker safety, that's Damian Willis. They're going to move him to outside linebacker, and then they'll find a bigger safety to put in there to fill the hybrid position in their defense. So Willis, I don't think you get the drop-off. It's a question of whether or not you can have that person playing the rover or the hero that Ignatius calls it. Can you fill in somebody there and get the kind of production you would have gotten out of a Damian Willis, who's 6 foot two, 215 pounds. He hits like a linebacker, plays like a safety at the high school level. Now it's a matter of whether or not you can find somebody to play that position. Years past, Ignatius has had kids like Mike Svitina play there. Svitina won All-Ohio and Defensive Player of the Year playing in that that safety linebacker position.
And, you know, Coach Kyle, no matter what injuries, no matter what you've got with talent and depth, he's always got that team right there at the end of the season. Last year, what an exciting end of the season that was there. The other one, before I talk about the number one team consensus being Menor, St. Vincent St. Mary rounds out the top five there. They kicked off their season with a huge win over Akron Garfield last night. How do you see St. Vincent St. Mary shaking out this season?
Well, I mean, they're going to play that independent schedule, but they're going to play a lot of those the Catholic schools down in and around the Akron area. They're going to play Walsh Jesuit. They're going to play Akron Hoban. I think that their schedule from the talent that they have this year is not going to be as challenging. I would expect St. Vincent St. Mary to have a long playoff run. I would see them at least to the regional semifinals, and then you start talking about the top two teams in the area at their level playing each other. I wouldn't call them scrimmages, and I wouldn't say that their schedule is as light as, say, Glenville, because Glenville's talent compared to the others in the Senate is that much bigger. But St. Vincent St. Mary certainly doesn't have a tough road to qualify for the playoffs, but the kids still have to go out and play. They still have to avoid injuries. But I would say it's an easier test for this year because their talent is better than it has been in years past.
And then, of course, the top of the top 25 for the plain dealer and most consensus around the area, Menner. Once again, of course, they're going out there this season without Mitch Trubisky, who did all kinds of things before he left as Mr. Football and now heads on to his college career. But still, once always one of the top teams. What's your outlook on Menner here? Coach Trevisano, always, just like I said about Coach Kyle, ready to reload and refire it up there with the Cardinal.
Well, the Menner Cardinals will have some transitions this year. They're going to move Connor Krasanchik from wide receiver, where he played the last 2 years at the varsity level. They're going to move Krasanchik back to quarterback.
To quarterback,
and he's going
to
run. And he's going to run that read option for Coach Trevisano. They still have Justin Fritz as the big 6'6" wide receiver on the outside. They fill in with a couple of other juniors that they have on the staff, and then they have a returning senior in Corey Plathkan who'll be a slot receiver for them. And the offense should be as good as they would want it to be. I doubt that you're going to get the kind of production that you got out of Mitch Trubisky, you know, and Mr. Ohio. You can't expect that all the time, and especially Krasanchik coming back to the quarterback position. He played as a freshman at that position for Menner, and he also was has been in the system since the seventh grade. Coach Trevisano has his playbook at the varsity level, the JV level, and the freshman level, but also the three junior highs that are in the Menner School District. They all run the same base offense that these kids will see when they get to the varsity level. So in terms of varsity players at Menner, they've seen the same playbook, the base playbook, since they were in the seventh grade. I think their offense will be potent. Their defense is probably the stronger part of their team this year, where last year they gave up some points. They have a front seven that's outstanding. They have three linebackers that could probably, two of them will probably get small Division I offers. You know, you're talking about a MAC or a Conference USA kind of offer, a Big East offer. They have a nose guard in Nico Lawton, who's fantastic. He's going to require two offensive linemen to block him. And if the scheme is that Lawton takes up two offensive linemen, well, then you've got a linebacker to roam free. And I think ultimately that's what will happen. Lawton may not get the praise regionally because maybe his stats are low, but that's due to the fact that he'll be double-teamed on pretty much every play. He's just too big. If he's not double-teamed, then his stats will go through the roof. I think Lawton is the key to that defense. And the defense itself is going to go back. Last year they played more of that 3-3-5 defense. This year Coach Trevisano is taking it back to the more traditional 4-2 or 4-3 set for the Cardinals.
You're listening to the Sports Fix. Ed Doherty, the voice of the St. Ignatius Wildcats, going through some high school football with us. He's going to be here each and every Friday. Ed, before we wrap things up today, looking at the season in general, if you had to, and I know this is hard, we're talking about hundreds of guys, give me your three, at least right now, preseason must-see players this season.
Well, I think Justin Fritz is one for the Menner Cardinals just because he's so big and so strong, and he has some speed and power. He's a North Carolina recruit. He's going to catch everything that's thrown to him. He runs very good routes. You're going to see him catch the football and have a lot of yards after catch, because if he's 6'6" and he weighs 245 pounds right now, he's scheduled to play tight end for the North Carolina Tar Heels next year. There aren't too many defensive backs, especially in that NOC, that Northeast Ohio Conference, that are going to want to stick their nose in and go toe-to-toe with a guy 6'6", 245, running at him in the open field. You know, somebody for the Wildcats, if you're talking about offensively, to me, it's Michael Siragusa. He's another wide receiver that can simply go get the football. He's 6'3", runs very good routes. He's in his third year on the varsity team for the Wildcats. Actually had a catch in the state championship game 2 years ago against Pickerington Central. Siragusa will be a big-time player once he decides where he wants to go. And then, you know, from a perspective defensively wise, I would think that Sean Crawford at St. Ed's is another kid that you want to watch. He's a pesky little corner that plays great defense, and then when he catches a screen pass offensively or a bubble screen or an inside screen, watch out, because he'll have the ability to really stop on a dime, make a move, and it's almost as if somebody's got the X, Y, and A button on him the way he runs after he catches the football as well. So I think those are the three guys I would focus on. They're all wide receivers, and I think that's where you're going to see the talent this year is on at the wideout position.
And I can't wait to watch as that list changes. It gets dynamic throughout the season because we're going to see things change and see people emerge, and I can't wait to go through that with you. Now, this weekend, we talked about Eds and Glenville already. Give me two games, not Eds and Glenville, that if people listening right now, hey, we've wet the whistle for some high school football. If somebody's out there listening that doesn't have a kid in school or doesn't have a friend or an affiliation, what two games would you put out there as check these games out this weekend?
Well, I think locally here in Cleveland, there's an interesting matchup to start the year, and that's the Berea Mid-Park North Royalton game tonight. And that's simply because North Royalton has been a playoff contender the last couple of years. They made the playoffs last year. They were routed by St. Ignatius 56-0. So I'm curious to see how they rebounded in the offseason after that kind of poor performance in the second round. They lost a lot of kids to graduation. But they're hosting a team in Berea Mid-Park who is a brand-new combo school. It was Berea High School, and it was Mid-Park High School. And those two teams combined were 3-7, 4-6 consistently. Well, now you're going to take the best of these two schools, and you're talking about a school now that has the 10th largest enrollment in the state of Ohio in terms of boys. I'm curious to see how they blend, and now you're going to take that school and you're going to open the season against the team that was drubbed in the final round of their playoff run last year. That's an interesting game. Maybe in the Steel Valley, Austintown Fitch opens at Warren Harding. Harding's never an easy place to play, and from a Division I standpoint, especially Division I, Region I, this could have some impact early because both these teams could win between 7 or 8 games, so it's a big win early in the season for these teams. And if you're looking for a small game, maybe Central Ohio, there's a game down there. Newark Catholic, the Division VI state runner-up last year, they lost the Division VI title game. On the final play, they were down by a touchdown. They had the ball at the 5-yard line against Maria Stein, Marion Local, and they threw a ball into the end zone that got knocked down. So they were down to their last play and could have forced overtime. They play a school in Columbus, Bishop Reddy, who was a Division IV last year but fell all the way to Division VI. They were a playoff team as well, and the Silver Knights were 7-3 last year. That's a small school battle for Division VI. In Central Ohio that should be interesting to watch because, again, both those schools are expected to win 7 or 8 games, and whoever gets that one is going to get some early computer points where they can build on and have some momentum going into conference play for both those teams.
What'd I tell you? Did I tell you my man knows his stuff or what? If you want to know high school football, you would call me. I would call Ed Doherty. There's the man right there, Ed Doherty. Voice of the St. Ignatius Wildcats. You got me pumped up for some Friday night football. I'm looking forward every Friday to talking about it with you right here on the show, my man.
I'll be back every week, Jer.
You got it. You have a good one. Enjoy this weekend's games, and we will talk to you next Friday, my man.
Very good.
All right, that's Ed Doherty, the voice of the St. Ignatius Wildcats. I am J-Rock, Jerry Myers, the voice of the Sports Fix. Do not go away. We're going to wrap things up when we come back.
And at the same time, burning her, man. Now when she burning, I'ma chill for a minute. Cause ain't no loving good enough.
It's an addiction. The Sports Fix. We'll be right back.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck. Home of the low price tire guarantee. QuickLane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
Hey, Cleveland. This is Daniel Booby Gibson of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And you're listening to the Sports Fix.
You're listening to the Sports Fix.
See, I told you I'd be right back. Let's wrap things up, baby. Thank you so much for being with us today. Ed Doherty, the voice of the St. Ignatius Wildcats. You can catch him every Friday right here on the show, talking about all the week's biggest performers from the week before and the upcoming games that you want to go out and catch. I'll tell you what, really, you know, love the Browns, love the Buckeyes, all of that. But you guys, get out there. If you've ever got a Friday or Saturday night that you've got nothing to do, go spend $5 or $10, get you a ticket to a high school football game, and just go have some fun and watch some football because there's some good programs and some good games. And looking forward to talking to Ed about that throughout. Hey, tomorrow, Ohio State Buckeyes rocking things out, kicking off the season. Monday, Dan Wismar, who debuted this week from the Cleveland Fan, will be with us to break down all of that and talk about whether the Buckeyes covered that 36-point spread or not, because that's pretty much what you've got to talk about at this point with the game. But we'll see how they performed, kicking off Urban Meyer Volume Dose. We'll see what goes on there. I want to thank Ryan Ruiz from The Inscriber for joining me earlier. Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com. Next week, every time we talk football, whether it's on Monday with John McMullen, Tuesday with Dr. Football, throughout the week, all week long, we'll be talking about real football next week. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the preseason has concluded. Thank you, and I will see you when football becomes real next week. The Indians with a huge, huge series this weekend. Gotta get it done against Detroit. Cannot wait to kick back and enjoy this holiday weekend, and hopefully you guys do as well and watch the Indians set things up for a fun, meaningful month of September, because if they can just get there and if they can just hang where they're at, get ready, because it's going to be a hell of a run in September. Don't forget, speaking of those Indians, next Friday, we're sending one lucky listener a pair of tickets to see the game, to see the fireworks, to see the Mets, to see the Indians chase a playoff spot. All you've got to do is come up with a way to promote the Sports Fix on your social media, on YouTube, on, you know what, you figure it out. There's no limits. There's no set platforms. You do what you do. Come up with something, show it to us, and we're going to pick the winner. The most creative, the most inventive, the most entertaining to us, whoever comes up with the best way to promote the Sports Fix throughout their social media and whatever kind of campaign you come up with, you're going to win the tickets next Thursday and go next Friday. So next week, and hey, as I get entries, I'll be talking about them on the air. I'll let you guys help evaluate that stuff too. Speaking of giving things away, Monday, somebody's going to win a t-shirt from our friends at GVArtwork.com just for sharing the show. So right now, spread the word about the show. Tell somebody about it. You'll get your name in the hopper and we'll talk about that. Hey, I want to thank Coach Sam Ratigliano for joining us this week, talking some Browns football. Lawrence Vickers, NFL free agent. Hopefully he can catch on, whether it's with the Browns or somewhere else. A good guy. It was a good time having him here on the show. Looking forward to all the things that we do here next week. This Sunday, don't forget, the Sports Fix official fantasy football draft takes place. Looking forward to that. We've got a dozen listeners, plus a couple of us here from the show. Going to be a good time there in that league, and I'm working on a very special prize for the winner of that, which is going to be pretty cool. I'm working on putting that together. Hopefully, I'll post pictures of that soon once I've got everything finalized there. So, a whole lot of things going on. Hey, speaking of this Sunday, come on out and check me out. I'm wrestling this Sunday, doing the whole spandex and tights and pro wrestling gimmick and doohickey. You could come on down. Matter of fact, I'll be wrestling. My boy Shane Taylor will be there. Tell you what, you go check out. You want to see the real deal, you go check out my man Shane Taylor. But come on out. I'll be on the west side of Cleveland as soon as I pull this address up. This coming Sunday, 3:30 bell time. Doors open at 3 o'clock. 3131 West 33rd Street in Cleveland, the San Lorenzo Club. I'll be there. Somebody's not going to enjoy the fact that I'm going to be there, but you'll enjoy the fact of watching me do what I do. So check it out, 3131 West 33rd Street in Cleveland. You can check it out. I'll put the address up on our Facebook page as well. Next week, things get serious. We got things to give away. We've got to get ready for the first broadcast at the Hairy Buffalo. The Tribe's warming up. The Browns are kicking off. Oh. Next week, Daddy, we're going to rock and roll. Thank you for spending another week with us, another not only Friday, but another entire summer with us, and we appreciate it so much. We will see you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend. There's a whole lot to do, and then we'll talk about it next week live right here on thesportsfix.net. Same bat time, same bat channel. We love you, Cleveland. Have a great holiday weekend.
This ain't no cartoon. Reality is all we know. You're tuning in to Bravo. Yeah, you hear me everywhere, but it's only one of me. Let me make that very clear. Yeah, I'm from that terminal. You can see the lake from here. Faith in my teams, we keep getting closer every year. But we got the king, though, so hopefully we overcome. Yes, I have a dream, and I know I ain't the only one. Armadale tried to steal my heart, but we brought it back. Thanks to Cleveland Clinic, now they call them Kiss the Cardiac. Rock Car, Science Center, Tower City, all of that. Warehouse District, Euclid Corridor, and all of flat. You know that I'm a Tribes fan and I love slimin'. Crockett Park's the perfect place for me to spend some time in. Baby, this is Cleveland. It is so much more to us. You can even go to Severance Hall to see an orchestra.
In Cleveland, we rock.